Welcome for all of you who have braved in this December cold weather we have here. Anyways, so we're going to get our talk going. All of you who haven't been here before, my name's Dr. Gary Forsman. I've been in the community since 94, 98, something like that. 94, I've had my own business since 98. And so Middle Path Medicine, we do our community health updates every month. We've been doing it here at Sycamore, and they've been so wonderful to provide for us, including the water service, and I think they have a tea service back there as well, too. Bathroom in the back, okay? So everybody feel comfortable. Get up. This is supposed to be fun and enjoyable. I want to orient everybody to other people in the room, Linda and Miranda. Miranda from Sycamore in the back. If you have questions about here and the supplements, also Richie over there. You see our little Make-A-Wish Foundation. We don't ask for, this is a community health update. It's our service to the community. We do ask that you make a donation to Make-A-Wish Foundation. The suggested donation is $10 if you don't mind, if you find value. Make-A-Wish Foundation is a truly wonderful organization doing so many wonderful things for especially children in the area who have life-threatening illnesses. And so without further ado, Middle Path Medicine, we've been doing integrative medicine really. I, in different, you know, lives, have been doing it here since 1998. I've been in Slo County since 94. San Luis Medical Clinic became Mission Medical Association, which became a little slice of, and I left and became my own business. I actually had a place called the Blissful Dragon in Grover Beach for a few years. Awesome. Been doing a place called Natural Balance, I think, from 2001 till, we'll say, I think somewhere in 2008-ish, and then in my life in Middle Path Medicine. Middle Path Medicine comes from this basic understanding, what I've been telling people for so long. Western medicine says this. Natural medicine says this. Truth is somewhere in the middle. Okay. A friend, Phil, who records our audio parts, was just telling me about how he was watching this talk. It's actually from the Great Courses, which I do strongly, the teaching company, the Great Courses. Lots of great lectures there on everything. But anyways, on the nutrition, how the one doctor was talking about nutrition, and I know who this doctor is, and gets the vitamins. Oh, you don't want to do vitamins, and here's one study, and, you know, that's it. Don't need to do vitamins. And so you find so often people have a bias, and you can find that one study that supports your viewpoint, and that's it. Your brain stops. So it's interesting in terms of being in inquiry, and, you know, I was actually also joking with Phil that, you know, if you weren't confused about vitamins, I'll tell you this about almost any subject. If you're not confused about it, it means you're not reading enough or you don't understand what you're reading because you should be confused. So please be comfortable with your confusion, okay? Once people have decided this is it, that's when you know you're probably pretty far away from the truth, okay? It's really true. I found that in medicine quite a bit. So that's that old saying, you know, align yourself with those seeking the truth and avoid those who found it. So on that order, this is an adventure, okay? And when we talk about vitamins, it really is important to take it in this context. You have heard me talk so much about the importance of nutrition. I've done so much on stress management. I haven't lectured as much about exercise. That's a lot in this, in my basic foundations of health that I talk so much. There's one line of intelligence called supplements, and it is its own line of intelligence. So when I talk about, can you get the benefits through your diet that you get from a multivitamin? And the answer is unequivocally no. Okay. Now, are there nutrients and things so far more important in your diet? Is your nutrition even more important than supplements? And if you want to look at it at a hierarchical scale, sure. Okay. However, since they're all important, why do we need to say which one's more important? You know, a common example I give to my women when I do bioidentical hormones is we talk about estrogen is the gas pedal, progesterone is the brakes. They balance each other in the woman's body, okay? Arguing about which one's more important is about as silly as arguing what's more important in your car, the gas pedal or the brakes. The gas pedal's more fun. We all know that. But they're equally important. That's kind of the way estrogen, too. It's a little bit more woo, but, you know, it can have more problems, just like that gas pedal. So when we talk about supplements, and that's the important thing. People say they want to make one thing all of it, because that happens in menopause as well. It's all about estrogens. That's kind of the Western doctor approach. the natural. It's all about progesterone, you know. It's all about both and much more than that because it's complicated. Vitamins are very much the same way. They are complicated. And this is a really important thing. You're hearing study after study coming out talking about how vitamins can even kill you. Okay? So at least we've gotten past the day of the argument where vitamins just give you expensive urine. You remember those days, right? You know, now they're killing you, okay? So, you know, if they weren't doing anything, they certainly couldn't kill you, okay? So they have to be doing something. Everybody's has to agree on that much at this point. So if these things, all these, when I use the term vitamins generically, I really should be saying supplements because you could throw in herbs. Vitamin D is really a steroid hormone. Probiotics are their own things. You can go on and on about supplements. We're trying to narrow this discussion down into the multivitamin misconceptions or nutritional supplements. I like the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's a little bit, you know, too Clint Eastwood for some, but especially after the latest convention. sorry, it's already over. anyhow, so we'll move along. Please, the funnest part of this talk, and I'm assuming that's a true word, is asking questions. So please ask questions as you go along. I mean, when I say that, I said, you know, please stay on topic with what we're, you know, what the discussion is about. And if you have significant other questions about things that you don't think are relevant to the group, then maybe get me at the end of the talk. Okay? So, on our journey. So, I just put this up. We have some over there. Quality, quality, quality. You'll hear me, and poor Phil here, he's done all my talk. He is going to hear everything I've said tonight like a gazillion times. Sorry, Phil. so, if you want to save money on supplements, what is the most important thing to do? Buy nothing. Thank you, okay? Because if your number one concern in your supplements is the cost of them, I have the best advice I could ever give you. Don't buy anything. Because I see so many people saving money and literally taking things that can and will kill them. Okay, so saving money and buying cheap stuff is not a good idea. Get an idea from a physician who's been practicing with thousands of people about what to do, okay, or a naturopath or somebody who really does this stuff. And this goes into that whole being in self-inquiry. You should be confused. I should be confused. We should be doing the best we can without categorically saying not to take something or categorically telling people to take something. Okay, and it is interesting because there's so much bias out there. I did have a patient recently who called in and their oncologist had said, no, we don't want to take those because we want to oxidize the cancer cell. And they don't understand that the antioxidant vitamins we were giving that person actually acts as pro-oxidants within cancer and antioxidants in the normal cells. Why wouldn't an oncologist know that? Because they don't look. General bias. So if you have a bias in one way, try to let it go, okay? And see if you can open your eyes and look at what other evidence is out there. Guys, face it, Fred, you're lost, okay? So all throughout the world, especially guys, will not take instructions. I don't know why. It's just something we do, okay? I know I'm being generic, but there's more truth to this than we care to admit. And so especially, it's really funny in my practice. The guys still want to battle me one-on-one. And I tell people this, you know, this is one area that I have a lot of intelligence in. There's a lot that I don't, okay? So battling me in this area intelligence-wise is not a good battle, okay? A lot of other areas, sure. This one, nah, not so much. And so I do know this from a whole world and a whole perspective. Especially I find for a lot of people, though, when they try to take the intelligence I have, apply it to themselves, the knowingness part comes when you apply something to yourself. Because just because something is intellectually correct doesn't mean it's going to be right for you, right? There's paradoxical reactions to everything I see, okay? I can give melatonin to one person and they get to come back and tell me about the dreamiest, wonderful sleep, and the next person says, no, that keeps me up all night, okay? Is melatonin supposed to keep you up all night? No, okay? So yet the other part of this is applying information to yourself. Start with good things and then apply it to yourself. Take instructions, please. Get a roadmap. This is actually more complicated than I would suggest to do on your own. I really would. I mean, the idea of this talk is to help you educate you about supplements so that you can go out and do some things on your own in terms of basic nutritional stuff. Because when we get to some really interesting studies, they confirm what my experience is that especially supplementation early on before a person has a disease is a good thing, can help prevent disease. If someone is a sick person starting to take vitamins, they can really throw themselves off. And that's what the data shows. So, multivitamins. I'm not going to spend too much on this. Everybody should have a copy of our basic nutritional protocol. I have had the same basic nutritional protocol for a long time. You know, I don't care how, 10 years more, something like that. And so the basic nutritional protocol is basically if you're breathing, which apparently everybody fulfills this criteria, okay, in this room today, you would take a multi, fish oils, and D. So this is a really easy one, people. How long am I supposed to take that one, doctor? Well, as long as you're breathing. Okay. As you stop breathing, you can stop taking this, okay? And why is that? Because there is a myriad of evidence that on a primary care basis, a multivitamin, fish oils, and vitamin D together work synergistically as a foundation of nutritional supplementation support. The reason I think we have much more success than the general articles out there, and this is coming along, by the way, I'm not going to bore you. I only added one slide today. I'm really proud of myself. just to make it a little bit more confusing, not a lot, but okay. Which the few studies where you see just people adding a multi and fish oils together, or fish oils and D, you see these synergistic benefits to these things. And everybody will say this, okay, which is these are very rarely studied together because everybody's doing the reductionistic model and isolating one thing. This is the problem with Western medicine studying nutrition. Nutrition is an integrative, okay, and you know, there's reductionistic thinking and inductionistic thinking. Reductionistic just means you're trying to break things down into pieces and find out which piece is the most important, basically. Okay. And in Western medicine, we try to break it down. It's not just B vitamins, it's folic acid. And once you start getting down into just looking for one nutrient being studied, you almost always have to cause problems. And this is another basic truth that I would tell you tonight. If you ever hear somebody say to take one nutrient and far excess of its family members, it's always been wrong so far. And I do mean always. Okay. What I give an example. Just folic acid without its other B vitamins. You can cause all kinds of problems. Okay. Just taking calcium without its other minerals. A dramatic increase in mortality in women. Okay. What are the things that doctors tell people to do? Most common, number one thing doctors tell you to take, calcium, dramatic increase in mortality. What is the doctor's next most common nutrient? Folic acid. So why are the doctors recommending these nutrients? Because they're reductionistic and they're single. And they actually fight against the human body, which is holistic and inductive. Okay. So when I talk about a basic nutritional protocol, meaning a multi, fish oils, and D, now, please just remember this caveat. If you say, Gary, I take fish oils and it makes me sick, I'd listen to that, of course. Okay? I mean, don't take something that makes you ill. That just doesn't make sense, right? And for general health purposes. However, taking these things, even if you don't notice that they're causing anything profound, can have a significant benefit long-term in your life. The other problem with the way the nutrients are studied is because even just a few of the articles I read today, well, we know that the primary reason to take a multivitamin is to treat micronutrient deficiency. Okay, that's the current thinking of the Western doctor. A multivitamin is meant to treat micronutrient deficiency. That is 100% inaccurate. Okay, why is that? Most of our patients, and again, the simplest example I can give, the moderately simplest example I can give. I'm just going to use one, hopefully, an example that gives more than just a simple kind of scurvy vitamin C example, is B12. Okay, vitamin B12 takes about 6 micrograms per day to prevent acute B12 deficiency with degeneration of the spinal column and a few other things, a certain type of anemia and all. 6 micrograms. However, very well studied in terms of how much B12 for optimal amino acid metabolism, and this is, I cannot emphasize enough, optimal amino acid metabolism, how well your body clears toxins and all these other things, things way beyond acute deficiency, the number varies upon the person between 600 to 1,000 micrograms per day. Okay? So when we first started talking about multivitamins, it was a time of World War II and how to prevent scurvy and beriberi and pellagra. These are important things. Okay? However, most of my patients are looking at how to be optimal. 6 micrograms of B12 is not what we're talking about. We're talking about how you can keep brain function going into later in life. How to be healthy long term is 600 to 1,000 micrograms of B12. And I can give you study after study that, no, we are not looking in terms of using vitamins to just prevent acute nutritional deficiency. That's what we used to do a few decades ago, okay? That is like before the PC, okay? So most doctors honestly are stuck in that mentality that they think a vitamin is about preventing acute nutritional deficiencies, and it is not. It is about providing optimal nutrition for long-term health. Your body has not been selected out to live. Because people ask, why do I need these things? Well, it's because you want to live. You know? And if you want to live, have you been genetically selected out to make it to 80 and 90 healthily? And look around you. The answer is no. Okay. You can live that long, and Western medicine has done a lot. Through a lot of things, vaccinations, sanitations, and all kinds of other things to get our lifespan going into the 80s. Okay. However, to be there healthily, that's a completely different issue. And what we're talking about today is about that. It's about how to maintain this health long term. Because no, you aren't taking the life force so you can have energy. Okay. Energy is a many splendid things. You'd have to really be deficient in certain nutrients for this to cause energy. And I'm not saying it can't. I've had many people who probably are deficient enough where they can get something like a woo feeling from this. You can prevent cancer. We'll do all kinds of other things. But even the American Medical Association has recommended multis in the past. I just want to point out, everybody recommends this. It's still a matter of debate right now whether we should, because nobody knows exactly. A multivitamin is so far away from a doctor's reductionistic training because a doctor's been taught to look at one drug for one effect. And getting this concept of a multi down, multiple nutrients to do multiple things, inductively speaking, synergistically speaking, very difficult. And difficult to prove, too. Because when we say multivitamin, I'm talking about something a lot different than what the studies are out there about. Okay? Does everybody follow me so far? Okay. And this is a really key component, is because when you are out looking and you buy a Centrum-type vitamin, you're using really antiquated thinking about how to prevent scurvy and beriberi. And if that's really your issue, you think your nutrition is so bad that you need to prevent scurvy and beriberi, you better start with your nutrition, okay? Because you really got bad nutrition. Twinkies are out of business, I understand. So, I mean, at some point, if that's your thinking with your multi. So that's another key concept you get. It's when you're really good with nutrition that this stuff works the best. Because people have this completely antique idea, well, if I eat right, I don't need to take a multivitamin. Completely inaccurate. Because the nutrients, the levels of nutrients like B12, can you get that through a diet? Absolutely not. Okay, so is a healthy diet select you to not take a multivitamin? No, a healthy diet is why a multivitamin works. Okay, when you take fish oils, they work hellaciously better when you're eating well than when you're eating French fries. Okay, a little bit of fish oil. Oh man, I don't want to take 2 capsules of fish oil a day. I'll eat a bag of French fries a day. Bad fats. Okay, and then pit them against my fish oils. Okay, French fries win. Okay, so the healthier you eat, the more benefit you get out of this. Another kind of interesting thought process that, again, this is, many of us are stuck in the past in the way we think as far as that goes. And I don't mean that in any kind of negative way. We're just products of the way we've been raised. Unless we stay on top and keep changing, because really, when I talk about conscious evolution, what we need is people really growing older as a society so we can help people along. But what we want to see in our society is increasing flexibility with age, not decreasing flexibility with age, which is exactly what we see. So how do we develop this increasing flexibility? Happens in spirit, mind, body, but it also helps when you give your body the right nutrients to stay flexible. Okay? So, I have a listing. You have this. if you have tried one multivitamin and you go, gosh, Gary, I just don't like it. It gave me burps, or I upset my stomach, or I got a rash, or anything that can occur with a multivitamin, then say, the good conclusion is that multivitamin and me don't get along. Okay. Now, with your doctor, there's a lot of information you can get out of that, but from a talk like this, I would suggest looking at maybe food-based multivitamins. Some people absorb those better. Look at what you might need, especially for athletes, and goes on and on in terms of way you can look at multivitamins. There's a book, this one right here, Comparative Guide to Nutritional Supplements. Back when I was doing my own work and, you know, leaving medicine, as they thought, to become a doctor. more or less, really. And so as that, when I did my vitamin research, most of the things that I would come to, the authorities who came up with this book kind of looked at the same data I did and came up with the same thing. So it helped me know that what I was telling people wasn't that far away from what authorities in nutrition would tell people, not MDs. This is really important. I love MDs. I am one, okay? I want to make that clear to you. But asking MDs about nutritional supplements is just mean on your part, okay? Stop doing it. They don't know anything about this, and you're kind of forcing them to answer stuff they know nothing about. So they have, but they are supposed to be an authority, so they tell you stuff that makes no sense. So you don't ask most, you don't ask MDs nutritional questions, says the MD giving the lecture. I just found that funny. And so, unless they really have trained on this stuff, I was a nutrition major going into medicine. And so, and remember, multis and nutrients are just one line of intelligence. I'm not trying to battle with what's more important in terms of detox or exercise or meditation or nutrition. They're just something different and their own line of intelligence. Okay. And so, and this is, again, this stuff is all in your handout. I don't need to go over that stuff. One little caveat, even though most multivitamins, they say they're multivitamin, multimineral. They have low levels of minerals in there, okay? If you're a postmenopausal woman, okay, with osteoporosis, or if you have osteoporosis, menopausal or not, man or woman, okay, an extra multimineral might be required. We'll talk about the literature about calcium only. I've kind of alluded to it already, okay? But once again, for bone health, an additional multimineral might be needed to be added to your basic nutritional protocol. Why would I add it to my basic nutritional protocol? Because it will synergize with the other nutrients to help them work better, okay? And that is my experience. So multimineral, we didn't even bring those because that's not this talk. We have a whole talk on just minerals alone. Okay, so might be necessary if you have osteoporosis. It is a very simple marker. And by the way, I'm a very practical guy. We'll talk about vitamin D and measuring if you're on adequate D. Measuring a urine test to see if your minerals, exercise, nutrition is enough to protect your bones. And if it's not, then you need to do more. Okay, and if you don't, then you don't need to do more. So there's measurables here. Another trite but truism from Dr. Forsman. The most important things in life, those things you can't measure. Measure everything you can. I love measuring stuff. Okay, I really do. I don't want to lose people in the measuring stuff, okay? But measure the things you can. You don't have to believe, I'll be right there, I don't have to believe I'm taking enough vitamin D. I can measure it. You don't have to believe I do or don't need to take extra minerals. I can measure the adequacy of your mineral intake. So these things, fortunately, do have measurables. Yes?
I had osteopenia until I started on hormone replacement therapy. Mm-hmm. And now we're talking about measurables. Mm-hmm. So can I feel good about the fact that I no longer, my bone density is actually much better?
The question revolves around bone density and hormone replacement therapy. This goes back into treating people and not just one parameter. So I'm not telling you not to be on hormones because you're, or to be on hormones because of this. What I'm trying to tell you is that hormones affects every cell in the human body, okay? And one of the things that we do is give that to help bone density, and it can be one of the things that helps slow bone turnover, and through your hormonal replacement therapy and your exercise and everything else, okay, your bone density is improving, and you can say, what I'm doing now is adequate. Yes. it still goes into, there's so many ways of assessing hormone replacement therapy. And by the way, and I've mentioned it earlier, I'm a fan of hormone replacement therapy and the women that it helps, and I'm not in the fan of it and the women that it's hurting. Okay, there are certain measurables about who are who, though. Okay, so if you notice, but I would still do this urinary marker called the urinary N-telepeptide, okay? It's the bone breakdown marker, and it lets us know if you are minerally sufficient. And that way, you can tell if what you're taking is adequate to help predict that your bone density is staying the same or increasing with age. Did I answer that? Hopefully. So, the answer is, if you're reversing osteopenia, I'd still, bone density is great. This bone breakdown marker is an independent risk factor and something I measure independent of the bone density. Okay. That is bright. All right. So, my clicker. All right. So, this study is the good, the bad, and the ugly. We start with bad, go to ugly, and end with good. Okay. more or less. There could be some ugly intermix there, but we'll see. I'll kind of, I tell you, this study here, which some people use, this is the Archives of Internal Medicine. So my literature I get is almost entirely through standard Western medical stuff, too, by the way. I mean, so that's really where, if I can get literature there, I start with that. I often need to go, especially for herbal and other medicines, I need to go into other literature. But if you can get stuff that's in the Archives of Internal Medicine, the stuff that just came out in JAMA, why not use it? Okay. So these women in the Women's Health Initiative, 161,000 women, follow-up of 8 years, multivitamin did nothing. Okay, so I would call that not necessarily bad, but we'll call it bad as far as that goes. It's certainly not ugly. Okay, but this is one study in postmenopausal women which showed that a standard Centrum-type multi did nothing. You'll see studies where Centrum-type multis do something, sometimes in a good way, more often not neutral, and more often, and then, so if you were to look at the curve, there's a few studies which indicate some benefit, a ton of studies which indicate next to nothing in terms of these long-term health markers, and quite a few studies that indicate harm, and we'll get to those in just a second under the ugly. Sounded interesting. This is one of the uglies. So, I just don't memorize these talks. It's nice to have a little fun with them. Say, hey, I remember that slide. So, multivitamin use and the risk of prostate cancer. 295,000 men in the NIH ARP diet and health study. Multivitamin use was ascertained, followed prospectively for 5 years. The use of a standard multivitamin, this was again a Centrum-type multivitamin, was associated with 32% increased risk of advanced prostate cancer, 98% increased risk of fatal prostate cancer. Journal of the National Cancer Institute. So this was a study where a Centrum-type vitamin not only did not do nothing, like in the Women's Health Initiative, actually caused harm. Okay, now let's go into the plausibility. A standard multi has a decent amount of just alpha-tocopherol. Alpha-tocopherol is one component of the vitamin E. So remember I said, if you ever hear about a nutrient in far excess of its family members, so vitamin E is actually made up of 4-tocopherols and 4-tocotrienols. And you get a multi, you'd get just alpha-tocopherol, most of the time synthetic alpha-tocopherol. Okay. When it comes right down to it, actually, even just standard natural alpha-tocopherol might even be worse for you because it's actually more imbalancing than because you're missing 3 other tocopherols and 4 tocotrienols. We've reduced vitamin E activity into 1 out of 8 nutrients. Okay, that's why, because alpha-tocopherol will help bind whatever other tocopherols you're getting in the diet, prevent them from being absorbed, and you'll have a deficiency develop of gamma-tocopherol. What does gamma-tocopherol do? Helps prevent and even treat prostate cancer. And this is where people also kind of hear, well, I heard vitamin E is bad for prostate cancer. And the answer is no. Alpha-tocopherol is bad for prostate cancer. And we need to be more eloquent in our use of terms because vitamin E isn't a good enough term anymore because we have to talk about which tocopherol are you talking about. And by the way, and some people go, well, I don't want to know all that. That's why you get doctors who know this stuff. Okay, because if you take the wrong terms of multi, some, not all trials, we'll talk about the recent Physicians Health study, didn't show nearly this degree of problem, by the way. Okay, so not all studies are showing this bad a problem. But this goes into what we were talking about earlier. I can select out studies showing supplements are the greatest thing in the world. I can show and that's why good, bad, and ugly. I want you to hear, there are studies showing a lot of stuff. That's what you need to know. And that's why you hear the subterfuge, okay? Because people are selecting out the studies that they want to look at, all right? So, and all this study, what does this tell us? Never take supplements like I tell you not to take, which are the Centrum-based multis and those things anyways. I wouldn't take them anyways, despite what I said, which some studies even consider some and benefit from them, because on average, taking a vitamin that has nothing to do with what you're interested in makes no sense anyways. Taking a woefully imbalanced supplement, like a Centrum vitamin, is nonsensical. It goes right to being actually past nonsensical to stupid, okay? It really does, and I hate to be mean. I'm not being mean. I'm just telling you, there's ignorance and stupidity. Ignorance is what most people have, okay, which is they don't know about this stuff. My job is to help you get past that, okay? The other word is about people who have the information and keep doing the same thing anyways, okay? So, and the two conditions exist. That's all. And we can be kind to everybody who has all of them. Okay, so now, job of this. So what does this tell us? Not that all multis, and this is really important, where the problem of generalizations occur. Okay, we all know that generalizations are still occurring in this world. Okay, kind of scary, huh? Okay, so we see, I can't emphasize enough, so we see it. This study comes out, therefore all multis are bad. So you hear that from someone and you go, wow, that's somebody who really doesn't know what they're talking about. Because a logical conclusion is a Centrum type multi and these men didn't seem like a good idea. That's a good conclusion from this study. Okay. It's actually not that difficult once you start tearing it down. Multivitamin in the use of breast cancer instance. This was in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition just a couple years ago. Women followed on, again, a Centrum type multivitamin. Multivitamin users, 19% increased risk of invasive breast cancer. Okay. These are uglies, by the way. and I'm bringing this up because, remember, you're seeing an effect from these vitamins. Remember how I said earlier? This whole idea that you just get expensive urine from this stuff has at least not been proven not to have been true when you can get more aggressive and fatal prostate cancer. Certainly doesn't sound like just expensive urine anymore, now does it? Okay, sounds like these things are actually doing things. Now, that's a really important take-home message because, wow, I guess these things really do something. But I probably ought to know what I'm doing. And randomly going through the Costco's and Walmart's of the world and grabbing what's on special is extraordinarily, extraordinarily unwise. Okay. This is the Iowa woman's study that came out. It bores me. I'm not going to worry about that one. There's more fun stuff since then. There's enough stuff out there. The Iowa woman study was another ugly study. It didn't show some benefits, but we're going to go on from there. I think you got the idea already from what I was trying to go. And so this talk will be up on the website if you want to look at it. So calcium supplements and the risk of cardiovascular events, British Medical Journal, 2011. Five previous trials noted an increase in risk of myocardial infarction around 31% in women on calcium supplements and overall increased mortality of 7 to 21%. So this is something you should really hear. Knowing this information, the Institute of Medicine in our country, you know what they decided to do? Tell you not to take vitamin D, but please keep chugging down calcium supplements, knowing this data. Okay. Now, and I'm trying to bring this up. Our leading institutions are promoting death, promoting disease. Now, when I say it that way, that is exactly what they're doing. What the motivation behind it is, I can make assumptions, okay? But what I would tell you is there's no major pharmaceutical company making vitamin D3. They are starting to now to catch up with that so that they can change the recommendations in the future once we have enough people making, pharmaceutical companies making D3. The recommendations will change, sorry, but that's what will occur. But the main source of calcium carbonate supplements and even the calcium citrate are three big pharmaceutical companies. So, and they're the ones who make the drugs to treat the myocardial infarctions. So why are we promoting disease as physicians? Okay, mainly because drug reps come into the doctor's office and we want to seem like doctors who care about nutrition, so we give you calcium supplements. And you've heard it on the TV and all these other things. It's a dramatically dangerous thing to do. Why is that? Okay, so plausibility. Okay. The most significant mineral deficiency in our society is magnesium. And I'm already being reductionist right now. I'm not sure if calcium supplements kill because of making magnesium deficiency worse. I think that's what it is. It could be manganese, and it could be boron, it could be silica. There's a variety of reasons that calcium supplements, when they're taken on their own, kill. Okay, so the one most obvious mechanism is magnesium depletion. We are a stressed out, processed food nation, which basically leads to magnesium depletion through a whole variety of reasons. We take a variety of medicines, diuretics, magnesium depleters, and acids, magnesium depleters. Okay, so we have people who are stressed out, bad nutrition, who start having, you know, stomach upset, take antacids, or a little hypertensive, take a diuretic, they are magnesium wasting. Okay, we give them 2,000 milligrams a day of calcium without any balance to nutrients, and I cannot emphasize this enough. Anybody who knows anything, I mean anything, the tiniest amount of nutrition, would never recommend that much calcium without some form of balance with at least magnesium, zinc, silica, boron, etc. Okay, and I'm talking about anybody. This is education I got as a nutrition student in the 80s. Okay, so why are doctors recommending something so far past physiology? Because it's made from a drug company. That's all. And that's why the recommendations are out there. So, and we have this much evidence, okay? And the most interesting thing about this is because when you take vitamin D out of this, the studies are much worse. The few studies where they didn't use vitamin D suggests much worse mortality because vitamin D at least protects the women from the disease caused from calcium supplements. Once again, this is why you shouldn't be going to MDs for nutritional information and or, okay, going to the public, okay, because calcium supplements taking on their own kill. Now, it's very interesting. I've been lecturing on this for a while, and I still have women calling to my clinic. Well, I heard that calcium was bad for you. Why do you have me on calcium? Of course, they're on a multi-mineral, and their brain still says to them that they're on calcium because calcium has been drilled into our mindset as being the most important mineral. And by the way, calcium's a wonderful mineral. I love calcium, okay? I have nothing against calcium and its family members. Okay, it's the most important thing for you to hear. Calcium is a wonderful nutrient and needs to be balanced just like estrogen and progesterone and gas pedals and brakes and everything else I know in this known universe. One nutrient in far excess of its family members always has been wrong so far. Until one day when that changes, I'll let you know. But if you ever hear somebody one nutrient in far excess of family members, you know it's wrong. Okay, so can you take a multi-mineral and measure bone breakdown markers? Yes. The right ratio of calcium to magnesium, remember this is its own talk, at least 2 parts calcium to 1 part magnesium, okay, at least, okay, and bioavailable forms, calcium in the non-carbonate form, magnesium in a non-oxide form. And I just want to, in a talk like this, it's very interesting. I was in the airport, I don't know, it was a couple of weeks ago, and this guy says, you know, hi, and I didn't recognize him. He goes, I went to a talk of yours. It was about 15 years ago. This is actually longer than that because I was at Mission Medical at the time. And something I said to him had still rung true to him, and he had changed his diet and his life, and he said, you made such a difference in my life, you know. And this was just some talk I did at a Rotary Club, okay. And one of those things was basically this kind of information, which is, wow, I got to pay attention to my nutrition. I got it. And sometimes hearing it from an MD makes all the difference in the world to some people. And when you hear me say this once again, I love MDs, I just be very careful about categorizing your knowledge, okay? Asking the rabbi how many Hail Marys to do is not fair, okay? That's what you're doing when you ask your doctor about supplements, okay? And they'll sometimes answer you. That's the worst. The best thing your doctor can do is say, I don't know. And that's what I'm looking for out of more doctors. I don't know. Okay, because I don't know is a wonderful place to be. It really is. Yes.
While you're still on calcium, thoughts on the MK7, the methokinase, and the effect of?
The question goes into MK7, and this kind of goes into where our brains go with minerals. So minerals, and I'm going to answer your question. I'm just going to kind of do what I do. Just too much. And see if I can get back there, because you never know. Minerals are important for every function in our body, for every enzymatic cofactors. It's so much more than bones, okay? Now, D3 is its own nutrient, but D3 works powerfully well with vitamin A, which you get out of a multivitamin, okay? MK7 is the most biological active form of K2, okay? And by the way, vitamin K, not K like potassium, vitamin K, which is a fat-soluble vitamin, has a K1, a K2, and a K3. K2 has many subdivisions, MK4s, and it goes on. MK7, most biologically active. And in terms of proving the directionality of certain minerals, especially calcium, into bones and away from calcifications of valves, coronary arteries, calcific tendonitis. And so MK7, especially in terms of helping direct nutrients, calcium in specific, into the bones, is an important adjunct to women, especially women and men. So this is, see, even I go back to old patterns. If men and women have osteoporosis, I just treat more women, so women pops out of my mouth. It's about anybody who has low bone density for any reason. However, it can be used for people with coronary artery disease, and it can be considered a good, healthy nutrient. I would love to see more multis incorporate MK7 as part of them. Many multi-minerals do have MK7 as part of them just for that reason. So MK7, vitamin K, helps with how your body utilizes these minerals. Now, I really want to dovetail off of this. Did you just notice how synergistic it is to do the multi? Fish oils have been shown to be powerfully anti-inflammatory and is good for bone health as a multi-mineral, possibly. Okay, vitamin D, same concept. Okay, so this is the synergy of these nutrients when used wisely, and there's wonderful parts to them. So MK7 is a great form of vitamin K and can help with bone density. Yes.
Okay, I've been taking the multivitamin, the fish oil, the vitamin D, and also a food-based calcium, magnesium.
Well, the question goes into taking the basic nutritional protocol, and actually one of the key things back, well, that was actually a few slides ago, so I won't go back to it, is most women, okay, who are menopausal, many men as well, if you have low bone density, will need a multi-mineral in addition to the the basic nutritional protocol. And is it too much? Usually not. So if I have my choice, put you on the basic nutritional protocol, get you exercising, eating paleo, doing the stress management, and seeing do you need an additional multi-mineral based upon your current bone density, vitamin D level, and this bone breakdown marker, and talking about what kind of multi-mineral to add into the equation to see if we can look at your mineral adequacy and if you need an additional multi-mineral. But your body can excrete extra calcium, magnesium. It's difficult to overdo a well-balanced multi-mineral, excuse me. That is okay, yes. Well, again, it's not a black-white world, people. Sorry, it's the yes-no answers are easy to give for anybody but me, but I want to avoid them as a general speak. Is taking too much, an extra multi-mineral, could it be too much? And we can count on our bodies telling us, is it possible? I'll just give you a quick aside there. I've had patients in my practice say that they can just walk by magnesium and just, if they look at it, they'll get diarrhea, okay? they're very sensitive, clearly. And I've always joked about that. It's like, a little psychological there. There are some studies showing that just for some people, not all people, the smell of something sweet can raise your insulin level. The person who says, I can walk by the bakery and I can gain weight actually might be true. Okay, so see how odd how different reactions are out there in this world. So it might be, listen to your own body. If you take something and you react to it, please listen to it. And that's the only thing I say. If you say, no, I feel like I'm doing pretty darn well with my minerals and things like that, then listen to that. There's always biochemical parameters I use on top of the I feel good model. Okay, when I talk to my patients, first most important thing, feeling good. Okay, let's now look at some parameters that can help predict you will continue to feel good long term, and that's where the laboratory testing comes in. Okay. World Women's Health Initiative alone, calcium supplements will increase the risk of heart attack 24%. This is everywhere in the doctor's literature, and I'm not kidding. Still today, gynecologists. I like that. Changing the syllable. Anyways, gynecologists are still prescribing Premarin and Provera. Provera has been shown to actually directly constrict women's coronary arteries, cause breast cancer, and the gynecologists of today still are, I see it all the time, prescribing drugs that are fatal to women. Okay? It's astounding. Still prescribing calcium supplements because the drug rep comes in and sells calcium supplements in their office. And so it actually is primarily woeful ignorance on the part of the doctors, because they've been shown that the drug reps are very powerful in influencing their behavior. And so why that is, you know, I can give you lots of reasons. All right, so the first thing I'm going to do is wipe that smile off your face. So this this goes into, I told you the vitamins were bad for you. So so for all of you, those, you know, gloating in our victories, there is more to come. Okay, so this is my most important slide from my personal perspective. Okay, it's called the EPIC trial. Europe has always done, a better job of studying supplements and other things than we have. They had a more broad spectrum interest in supplements in general. And so the EPIC trials, European Prospective Investigation into Cancer, there's EPIC Heidelberg, and there's one in, there's several of these EPIC trials that are going on right now, or prospective trials. And this is a really important one. So 24,000 people, I'm just rounding some numbers here, by the way, free of cardiovascular disease and cancer baseline, recruited in this time, followed for an average of 11 years, deaths were monitored. Overall, there was no significant effect of supplement use in cancer or mortality noted. However, okay, and this is so important, people taking antioxidant vitamin supplements at the beginning of the trial, now this is well individuals, they have been screened to be well, okay, actually had in an 11-year period a 48% reduction in cancer mortality, 42% reduction in all-cause mortality. Please look at this, okay. So if you are well, when you start your supplements, you can get profound, profound benefits. And these were much more potent multis, higher levels of C, higher levels of alpha, of mixed tocopherols, much well, better rounded. So why are the studies, this kind of study, show much more profound benefits to nutrients? Because they're actually using closer to what I'm telling you to take. Okay. And so, profound. However, baseline non-users who started taking supplements during the follow-up had a 74% increase in cancer mortality and overall 58% increase in all-cause mortality. Prospective supplement studies need to be cautious of the sick user effect, which was the conclusion of this trial. And there are many trials like this. Remember, in a talk like this, I probably am already making you a little dizzy with trials, but I'm trying to get you across. These are in the European Journal of Nutrition. These are all recent and well-done trials that have been peer-reviewed and all that other fun stuff, okay? So do you see the difference? If you're well, and this is so important to understand, let's just use B vitamins as our example. B vitamins do a lot of things, but they're also important for this methylation process and DNA repair and the prevention of progressive mutation of the genes. Okay, it's what they do. If you're well, they can help prevent cancer. However, if you have cancer, B vitamins serve as a growth factor for cancers. That's the sick user effect. Okay, so once again, this goes into, if you're becoming ill, getting guidance and taking supplements is a really good idea. Do you see how important that is? And this, do you understand why I think this is so important? Prospectively, you're doing well, multis, fish oils, D's, profound benefits in terms of reduction of cancer, cardiovascular, 40%, 2% reduction in all-cause mortality. It goes on and on. I mean, obviously, some trials have to be limited based upon age and everything. The mortality followed out in every trial would eventually be 100%, right, because nobody's immortal yet. So on that order, we have to look at as relative change in mortality versus the placebo groups, okay? And this concept of the sick user effect, one of the things that really aren't controlled for in most of the American trials. Okay? They do a better job of studying in the questionnaires. Interesting, Europeans, I mean, we're all genetically very much the same, of course, but Europeans are better about these supplements. They're more rigorous about, because it's been part of their culture for longer, so they'll know that tocopherols and the types of tocopherols and what vitamin E is better than the average American, okay, and that kind of thing. So the questionnaires are much more thoroughly filled, and it goes on and on in terms of nutritional things, okay. So, at least the trials that I read, I don't know, I've never been to Europe, so if I've been across, and I bet the person working in the steel factory and, you know, Heidelberg probably is the same as an American here in terms of their approach to nutrition, but I don't know for sure because I haven't been there. Yes?
Could you just define which antioxidant vitamins supplements? You mentioned
B12. No, the B complexes. The antioxidants that most strongly correlated with benefits are C and the mixed tocopherols in terms of cardiovascular mortality and in terms of reducing cancer risk. Same thing goes with carotenes. You know, it's most of us know this. This goes to families of nutrients, okay? You take beta-carotene and you're a smoker, you can increase your chance of cancer. Actually, beta-carotene just exacerbates cancers that are there. Beta-carotene is a growth factor for epithelial cells. Cancers are epithelial cells with some response to growth factors. So if you give beta-carotene on its own to smokers, you will bring out the ones that are already developing cancer and they will die earlier. That's what the studies show, okay? However, multiple carotenes, okay, beta-carotene, lycopene, lutein, astaxanthin, zeaxanthin, there's so many carotenoids of so much use. And you get those through multicolored vegetables and fruits without needing to take a supplement of every one of them. This is one of the things where I try to get across. Phytonutrients are best obtained through our diet, okay? So I'm not trying to make supplements into everything right now. But if you want to take beta-carotene on its own, no, because it's imbalanced in the carotenoid family. Alpha-tocopherol on its own? No. And I won't say never, by the way. I'm going to say almost never. There are sometimes reasons to use these nutrients on their own, okay? But that's under the guidance of a physician, okay? So in terms of the nutrients for prevention, and this is also another important thing, there's ways of preventing a disease and there's ways of treating disease. They're different things. Remember how I just pointed out, B vitamins can help prevent cancer because prevention of progressive mutation of the DNA, okay? However, if you have an already ongoing cancer process, it can serve as a growth factor for the cancer. That's why these studies just show do you understand how plausible that makes these trials once you understand these things? Okay? That's why it's important to understand this stuff before you jump into certain nutrients when you're sick because, you need guidance. These things are not doing just nothing. Look at this, 74% increase in cancer mortality. So if you give yourself a cancer growth factor when you have cancer, that really makes your treatment difficult. Do you see? And these things are powerful. That's the other side of, you know, medicine be your food and food be your medicine. The most important nutrients come from our food. Once again, no doubt. But if you give especially a very imbalanced form of nutrients to someone who already has an imbalance, it can wickedly throw them off, and it can wickedly help them. Okay, I want to be clear about that too. This is a Washington State study. Men and women without pre-existing heart disease, 22% reduction in cardiovascular mortality, 77,000 women, men and women between the age of 50 and 76. There's some confounding factors in many studies because, in general, people who take multis tend to be higher education, exercise a little more, etc. So it confounds mortality benefits in most American trials is that people, packs tend to run together, so the groups that tend to take multis tend to also exercise a little bit more and eat a little bit better and have a little higher income, have a better education status. So teasing out mortality benefit, which one's doing it? And the answer is yes. But it's tough to figure out what component. That's the importance of synergy. Okay, multivitamin use and the risk of myocardial infarction. This is a study done in women, no history of cardiovascular disease, age 50 to 80, followed for 10 years. Multivitamin users, 30% reduction in risk. And again, in a parallel trial of this many women, 2,200 women with history of cardiovascular disease, multivitamins had no benefit. Once again, multivitamins are better at prevention than they are at treatment of things. There's multiple trials suggestive of this. Okay, and this is the most recent one, the only slide I added, okay, the JAMA trial that came out in November, all right? And I want you to see these are all referenced. There was a study that came out the week before that I just threw in for one slide here, so let's just focus on this multivitamins and the prevention of cancer in men. This is the Physicians Health Study 2. 14,641 male U.S. physicians over the age of 50, followed for an age of 11.2 years. Again, placebo versus a standard multivitamin which they were given. Their multivitamin even changed during the course of the study, had a little higher level of D over time. The beta-carotene component decreased. So It was definitely different than just a straight Centrum vitamin, but it was another one that was kind of funky. Whoever thought of this multivitamin approach, but this is important, an overall decrease in cancer incidence of 8%. You need to hear this, because this trial came out and said there was no change in cancer mortality, period. Okay, there was a decrease in chance and risk of cancer. Now, the classic holy grail of Western medicine is a p-value of less than 0.05. That means the study has a chance, the results, at least 95% chance that occurred because of the effect of the trial versus chance. So 5% is a classic where it's statistically significant. So if you see a p of 0.04, so the decrease in cancer incidence means a 96% chance that this was a real effect of the vitamin. Okay. However, the thing that didn't happen, according to the trials, is there's no chance in cancer mortality, period, end of story. However, there was a decrease in 12%. It just missed the cutoff by 0.2 of a point. Okay? And this is some of the biases you see in the reporting of trials and reading abstracts. Most studies, I get jam already, of course, but most studies get reported unless you want to spend $45, $55 to look at the actual trial, which I don't have that kind of money to do for everyone that I read, then you don't know if that abstract that you're reading at all has anything to do with the trial, because the decrease in cancer mortality was almost as important as the decrease in cancer incidence. This 0.3 of a point between the two, when I said 0.2 of a point, 0.2 of a point away from being 0.05 is what I was meaning, okay? So it was a very significant improvement, and this is male U.S. physicians. So if you remember back to the trial about prostate cancer, they didn't see any hint of that with this, okay? And they still had a form of alpha-tocopherol, and in this case, the natural form of alpha-tocopherol was better than the previous trial when they were using a synthetic form of alpha-tocopherol. So, I mean, we'll have to hold on here in terms of what we're looking at, but at least this didn't increase men's prostate cancer. In men with a previously treated cancer, cured, by the way, felt to be cured, that's the entire group that noticed the benefit, okay? Which goes on to, this is a classic thing in medicine. If somebody's formed one cancer, that's the greatest chance of forming another cancer down the road, all right? So, and those are the people who already have developed some mitochondrial problems and other things that increase our risk of cancer. Those are the highest risk group. So it's not too surprising that prospectively, this multi had the best effect on people who already had, whether it's a genetic and or metabolic reason for going on to form cancers. No effect was seen for incidence of or mortality related to cardiovascular disease in this trial. So we have another trial showing at least in the cardiovascular world, at least the multi was not harmful, and definitely suggestions towards significant improvements in male physicians, which is an interesting group of people. And that's why we have to be very careful about generalizing studies. The Iowa Women's Study, female nurses seemed to be doing bad with the vitamins. A similar age group, male physicians, seemed to be doing good with these vitamins. What do we do with this information? It's all so confusing. So remember that roadmap thing? Gosh, I wasn't confused until I started listening to you. my job is to bring forth confusion. And when I say it that way, to some degree, that is my job, because I want to break people free of thinking they know anything, because that's always my issue. If I think I know something, I'm bound to find a reason why I didn't know what I think I thought I knew. You know, sometimes I sort of enjoy this herd mentality. So, this does take us back to thinking seems to be difficult for humans. We seem to like to run in herds and not have to think. Okay? Just my general approach. And there is some fun involved in herd mentality. there's no doubt about it. However, that's what you see. Why do people tend to stay in the herd? Okay? Because everybody thinks this way and it's more comfortable. We're trying to break you free and say, wow, if I come to a conclusion about multivitamins after a talk like this, I'd have to say, wow, the data's still out there. What I can tell you is the data is very, very clear to me, which is prospectively, a well-developed multivitamin not focused on micronutrient deficiency, focused on micronutrient sufficiency, okay, the amount necessary to be optimally healthy. Remember, not just RDA. How do I prevent scurvy? How much vitamin C do I need to have optimal metabolism, my collagen, and everything else? not enough B12 to prevent deficiency, how to keep my brain and every other thing functioning, my DNA repair at an optimal level, completely different questions. Completely different. That's why anybody who bases their multi on an RDA doesn't know what they're doing. Unless they're trying to prevent scurvy and those types of things. So, fish oils, again, fish oils, EPA and DHA, eicosapentaenoic acid, docosahexaenoic acid. We did an entire talk on good fats, okay? Fish oils work synergistically with multis in lowering homocysteine. Fish oils work synergistically with multis in D in terms of improving mood stability, quality of life. It goes on and on and on and on about studies using these things synergistically. One of the most important nutrients we can get. There's lots of concerns about the world's fish supply. I get it. So getting a purified, good quality fish oil, somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 milligrams of EPA, DHA combined, get a good fish oil, keep it refrigerated. It is awesome. It is wonderful, your health. Flax oil is not the same thing as fish oil. 100% certainty that they're not the same. Can it have some benefits? Yes, possibly. But it does not have the proven benefits of EPA and DHA. 100% certain of that as well. Okay? It might have its own benefits, but they're not the same as EPA, DHA. Yes?
Krill oil.
That's another one. Makes its comebacks, everything. Krill oil has been studied for many decades. It has a few studies indicating a few benefits biochemically speaking. Krill oil is still expensive. It has very low levels of EPA and DHA, which have studies on millions of people. Okay, I tell people, you get your EPA, DHA good, okay, 2,500 milligrams a day, higher for other conditions, and you say, wow, I still have some achy joints or some PMS or some other things that krill oil might be helpful for, and you add it to that. Krill oil, 100% certain, does not replace fish oils. I'm 100% certain of that one as well. Okay, why is it? Because they cannot, and the studies have repeatedly been shown not to. And furthermore, I've had patients, and this goes back a long time ago, when krill oil was really hot, was about 10, 15 years ago, oh, it's great for cholesterol, it's all these other things. We started using it for this and that back, and this goes back into the practical utilization of your doctors doing it. Everybody found, just like me, that it didn't do any of the things. It didn't lower the cholesterol, it didn't do all the things. And furthermore, everybody stopped using it. So what happens? Those supplements go away for a while and they come back, sort of like other things that just trying to get marketed back. It's like that. There's that one weight loss drug that just keeps coming back with new life. That one that caused Aliyah, I guess they called it now, Orlistat. It just goes away because everybody's kind of disgusted by it, but it just seems to keep coming back. I'm not disgusted by krill oil. I am concerned because people have been sold that it replaces fish oils, and it 100% certain does not. Can it add, possibly, and synergize with fish oils? Yes. Okay, that's what the data shows. And that's my only concern is when I see people taking and I've had multiple cases recently where people were doing so well in the fish oils, they heard from some friend, oh, I heard the whole krill oil is better, and they get the krill oil, and their CRP shoots through the roof, their triglycerides are high again, their HDL is low again, just like I saw 10, 15 years ago. Again, that's what happens. So that's why, and back to this thing, like I was saying, the 3-6-9 myth, okay? So once again, you have enough 6s and 9s in your diet, okay? So taking a 3-6-9 supplement is a way of putting cheap fats into the fish oil, making you spend a good amount of money for a lot of things you don't need, okay? Omega-3s are the things that are beneficial for you, okay? And the omega-3s we're focusing on from long-term health, from a supplementation standpoint, EPA and DHA, okay? Don't fall for the 3-6-9 combos. We have enough of these. Okay, and they keep you away from that goal. And I can't emphasize this enough. Look at the capsules. I was just with somebody, it had to be last week sometime, and they're two fish oil capsules. Now, that's an important thing. The serving size was two fish oil capsules. Each one was supposedly, they were huge things. They're 1,000 milligram fish oil capsules. The two capsules had a total of 500 milligrams of EPA and DHA combined. So I said, you understand you need to take 10 of these a day to reach this goal, you know? And that was like, oh, wow. That's why it probably hasn't been doing anything. And the answer is yes, that's probably why it hasn't been doing anything. And it was from a relatively good company. So it's a dosage that's very important when it comes to EPA, DHA, and it works synergistically with your multi and with your D. Vitamin D3, its own talk, okay? It is not a vitamin. It's actually a steroid hormone, which your body produces when exposed to the sun. That's another one of those great lies. Oh, people still hear that. All you need is 20 minutes of sun 3 times a week or whatever that myth is. That is 100% bullshit. Not true. And everybody keeps saying it. It's kind of funny. You see people walking around all the time. They're low D. Oh, I go out in the sun. Or they stop taking their D during the summertime. Well, I'm out in the sun. That has not, enjoy the sun, love the sun, go out. Everybody knows I love the sun. It doesn't change how much vitamin D I take at all. It doesn't affect us enough. As we get older, when you go from 20 to the age of 70, your ability to take sun and produce it into vitamin D goes to about 20% of what it used to be. So even at 50, if you were naked at the equator all day long, you wouldn't make enough for long-term health. Now, it might be a fun prescription, you know, naked at the equator, you know. Not very practical. And what we're looking for, take enough, and remember about a gold blood level of 70 to 90 nanograms per ml, that's the units, optimal. Avoid the lab reference ranges, because see, people come in and they have some labs still use down to 20 as normal, okay? Most of the labs are coming up and they're using 30 to 100 as normal, but people will see them and they're doctors and they'll have a level of, say, 32, which is not rickets, okay? However, it's not enough for all the functions of vitamin D in terms of its ability to help your immune system, help with your long-term brain health. It goes on and on and on. The roles of D, a steroid hormone with receptors in every cell in your body, it has so much more to do than just bone health. And this myth, like, I have to take my D with my calcium together. No. You don't have to take those together. The minerals in your diet are one thing. Vitamin D is a completely, completely different thing. And it doesn't have to be taken at the same time. It's how much D is floating around your body and all that other stuff. So, and the linkage between D and calcium has done a huge disservice to them both. Huge. Okay. Does vitamin D, when adequate, help your body absorb calcium? Yes. Let me show you this trial. This is compared to a serum 25-hydroxy D level of 25. Okay, so the reference range is taking all studies looking at a level of 25. Okay, and what diseases I can prevent when my levels go higher. Okay, so evidence is up to, and there's a study that goes higher using up to 60, up to 83% of breast cancer can be prevented from going from a 25 to a 52. 83%. Certainly don't take vitamin D. This evidence and all these articles were present when the Institute of Medicine told you not to take vitamin D, but please keep taking the calcium supplements that cause increased mortality. Fascinating. It's really a fascinating little article they wrote. And we look at this. 17% reduction in ovarian cancer if we can get it to 50. It goes on and on. Type 1 diabetes, you might be able to completely prevent if we supplement our infants with those. Okay, and it goes on. Autoimmune diseases, cancer, et cetera, et cetera. To prevent rickets, all you need to do is be about above 20, and you can prevent all rickets. So remember, rickets is acute vitamin D deficiency disorder. This is how we learn. This is how your doctors learn about these nutrients. So yes, it was pretty dramatic to save a child from rickets, give them vitamin D, have their bones start forming better. You need very little. It takes very little D to get to this range, right? Most people actually are above 20 naturally. I mean, I've seen a very lady, didn't mind me saying it, the lady with the lowest level of vitamin D, I measured in my practice, is a lady by the name of Ricketts. she came in with an 8, you know. I laughed so much and I freaked her out. The next time I saw her level was greater than 240. She took her D seriously, a little too seriously. But we'll talk about that. We should write that. This is a little arrow right here. We should write that spot down. Now, is this vitamin D? it's a wonderful thing. That's all I will tell you. Everybody knows I love my Far Side slides. Cholecalciferol, we're talking about vitamin D3. I want you to show you, not D2, those two graphs are really the most important D slides. Why are they on my multivitamin misconceptions? Because D is a level of intelligence that you cannot get through your diet. I don't care how many seal livers you want to eat, okay? I doubt as many. That's the only natural source. You cannot get D through your diet. You cannot get the level of B12 you need through a healthy diet. I could go on and on and on. It's its own level of intelligence, okay? So And this has been my experience as well. I've only had a couple of people with levels over 200. But there's never been a study showing any toxicity in, if you're taking anything. We're up to 30,000 units a day. Most of the studies really finding any differences of the people taking close to a million units a day. Those are people who are using for multiple sclerosis and things. Anybody starts talking to you about detoxicity or really is just trying to live you, have you live in a fear-based model and promote disease, basically. And you can overdo D. You really just have to try it. I still have so many patients. I mean, I'll talk with them. You know, it's been 3 years. I still can't take you to take vitamin D. And some of those people are getting cancer already. And we don't know if they just listened 3 years ago if they could have prevented the cancer that I'm seeing them for now. And so, and why aren't they? Because they hear Dr. Oz or some less enlightened person tell them not to do these things. And it's so horrible, okay? And it's because these things like the Institute of Medicine and things have made you afraid of vitamins, so you'll take drugs, okay? So there's what I'm trying to point out. This is there's all kinds of studies looking at where you can find vitamin D toxicity. Everybody knows for acute illnesses, I use 150,000 units a day just for 3 days. My problem with that role is so many people feel so good, they want to keep taking it. My lady with the greater than 240 feels so good, I have to really fight her to take it down because she's feeling so good now, okay? I have and all kinds of people with levels in the hundreds low 200s, never the greater than 240. I've never seen hypercalcemia. I've never seen any. I look for these things. I'm not asking my general populace to shoot for levels like that. I want to be clear about that. But the idea that D is toxic is true, but you'd have to really try to get there, okay? And most people are drowning and through lack of D, and they're worried about getting too much. You know, I mean, it's kind of odd, okay? This, again, has to be appreciated from afar. Trying to calm the herd, Jake himself was suddenly awestruck by the image of beauty and unbridled fury on the cliff above. Pink shadow had returned. See, I'm the only one who really gets this one. I love this slide. I've got to get a pig and name it Pink Shadow. That's all there is to it. I am going to do that. Got to get a little pig. Anyways, Pink Shadow is vitamin D. All right. How much time do we have? 20 minutes? Oh, good. We have time for question and answer and everything. Woo! All right. So I want to make sure we made it through these things. I'm very rarely finishing anywhere close to on time, so I want to make sure everybody, you know, gets through this. This talk's going to be up there. This, you know, I have fun with this because if you can just get, like the guy I met at the airport and things like people make simple changes, actually pay attention to, it was a guy that was other things, and listen about what a good multivitamin was. He was telling me what he was taking and things, and do that kind of stuff and feeling so good and all the stuff. It's interesting. You can make a big difference just by taking on stuff like this using good information. I've already made it clear to you by presenting trials to you of there's dangers to taking the wrong form of vitamins. I think hopefully I've made that clear. And so I wouldn't do it without some guidance. If I thought I had some problems and I had a medical condition, would I just willy-nilly just go straight to a basic nutritional protocol? No, I'd talk with a healthcare provider about it. If you're basically well and healthy and things and you want to promote health, this is where the basic nutritional protocol comes in. You shouldn't need a doctor for that. That information... Really, the stuff I get is stuff I've learned, obviously, clearly after medical school. Okay, so what I do in my practice is so far past what I was taught in medical school and residency. Having an MD brain, and I also went through this advanced training and all kinds of scientific studies and how to read articles. I mean, I went through a lot of stuff as well. Having my training does help me look objectively at data. I'm not going to say having an MD doesn't give me some advantages in terms of people who haven't had my training. But it is very difficult to go through all this data and not just cherry-pick out little pieces. Furthermore, here's the kicker, is unless you have a lot of experience in treating a lot of people, it's very difficult to understand what this stuff is doing. That's why you usually need help in this and that. And a talk like this really is about basic stuff. Oh, I can take enough vitamin D and check my vitamin D level. Most doctors are even coming around to even 3-4 years ago, if my patients asked for vitamin D levels and they were seeing like their HMO doctor or whatever else, they wouldn't even do it. Now they'll do it even if the doctors don't understand it, okay? But my patients know what levels to shoot for, okay? And so You see how it, bit by bit we can change how medicine is through how you ask through your doctors as well what tests to be looked for. And then, of course, you can talk about what nutrients to use. Use our website as a reference. Call us. That's why we have trained professionals to help you with this stuff. And it is difficult. Yes?
How do you define 5 grades cervix of fruit and vegetables?
Everything has its own thing. So one medium-sized apple is a serving. So the question is, what is a serving? And this goes into, are you talking about an organic fruit and vegetable? Are you talking about something that's mass-produced with pesticides and everything else? Because the nutrient levels can be so different. So 5 to 8 servings of fruits and vegetables in the past might be the equivalent of 10 to 16 today because of the process, the quality of our soil, and it goes on and on and on. But there is standard protocols, a medium-sized apple. Broccoli is half a cup of broccoli. Okay, so there are parameters for that in terms of what a serving size is. Okay, most people don't get that. And then I take greens many times. I mean, when I say that, if I haven't been good for a little while with my fruits and vegetables, which sometimes I am, okay, I'm more into like some of my ketogenic phases and things, and I'm just doing some coconut oils and other things, I'm not being as good with fruits and vegetables, I'll take a green supplement. I'm not saying that's preferable. I'm just saying intelligence is, I'm a little weak in these areas. Maybe I'll take some greens just to be on the safe side. Yes?
How's wheatgrass or its juice fit in? Is the green supplement a combination of many more?
As wheatgrass and barley, etc. So the idea is what's the best form of greens, and there's many different types of greens, and variety is probably the best answer, not just wheatgrass, although that's a good green. And so, but who has the best is the different algal forms and the barley grasses and the wheat grasses. And the answer is they seem to have all their own unique set of benefits. It's sort of like, you know, berries are fascinating. You know, blueberries might be better for your brain, and bilberries might be better for your eye. And you could go on to the cranberries for urinary health, but that has some crossover into the brain. So what's the best berry? And the answer is get a bunch of different berries. They're all kind of fun, okay? You know, what's the best colored fruits, you know, and get some squash and get, you know, mixed colors up. That's the idea. Make festive salads. That's a good way of getting your greens, okay? And so I, of course, love collards and other things as well, too. So, I mean, greens themselves are good for you. And ways that go beyond, you think, very frequently people still think, like, spinach is a good source of iron. Spinach is not a good source of iron. It has a lot of iron there. It's all bound. You can't really absorb it, okay? Spinach is a great food. I just don't want the person thinking they're getting a lot of iron just because Popeye said so or something. Because Popeye isn't the greatest reference for nutrition, you know, and so Popeye's just kind of cool. But that's the whole thing is, you know, there's a lot of misinformation out there about what has things and what doesn't. It's very complicated. But get variety in your nutrition. That's the most important thing. And whether that's berries or greens, etc., to me that seems to be the biggest take-home message. And somebody like Uta, who's here tonight, if you might stand up, Uta. And so she's a nutritionist. I am telling you from a standpoint of if it takes a village, I do this all the time with people. If you say, I'm going to exercise, and you can't exercise, here's the number for a trainer. I'm not saying you have to do one, but if you need a coach, get one, okay? I'm not saying you have to have a nutritional person working with you, but it's a really good idea because most of us grew up with food pyramids and all kinds of things that are, I'm telling you, they're still like the crabs, they're pulling you back again, okay? and having somebody come in into your home and go, whoa, you know, did you know this is loaded with MSG and this? And oh, man, I didn't even think about my ketchup or whatever. And I pick up on ketchup a lot, but, you know, but whatever it is. I mean, there's a lot of foods that you aren't realizing aren't quite so good for you. You know, that maybe that rice cake really isn't as healthy as you think it is. And so, et cetera, et cetera. And maybe it is, but get somebody to help you. So please, this is an area where you can really get help. Trainers, if you are not exercising. Nutritionists, if you need help getting into your home and how to cook and make things that are healthy, because most of us have learned ways of being that aren't that good for us. It's true. I've had to relearn a lot of behaviors. So, yes?
I'm confused and I'm rather mad at what's organic and what isn't. I'll travel grouse and all sorts of, then I'll go by New Frontier. I mean, am I getting yuck? Why should I'm mad. It makes me frustrated to think I may be eating something that is bad for me.
Soylent Green is people. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. It's the first thing that came to I went through back to normal. Soylent Green is people. I'm sorry. It was my Charlton Heston. I just didn't do it dramatic enough. Am I eating yuck? Sorry. As soon as he said that, I went to Soylent Green. Sorry. Old movie references. I have somebody to blame for that. So do the best you can. This is the first and most important part. And what I mean by that is organic fruits and vegetables on average, and how do you know if it's organic or not? You know, I was going through this, you know, with, we were at Trader Joe's, you know, and there is, and just use dairy, just because I'm just going through a brief example, but it could pertain exactly to what you're talking about. There is the grass-fed stuff from New Zealand, but it's not organic. There's the organic stuff that you don't know if it's corn-fed organic because they're not using any pesticides. Then there's the raw stuff that didn't seem to be organic, and, you know, and we're kind of going, so what's the most important? Well, you know, my priority list would be grass-fed, then organic, and then raw, okay? And I'd love to have them all together, thank you, okay? It's tough to find that at the Trader Joe's of the world, as a matter of fact. I didn't see a single thing there that met that criteria for when I want dairy in terms of the grass-fed organic raw stuff, okay? So, and in terms of organic apple having more nutrients, it does in most every trial. I'm very suspicious of anything that doesn't show that because it has to. If you don't spray pesticides, the apple and the tree, of course, has to make more antioxidant, all the things that are in the berries, the OPCs that help your brain and things, are things to fight off fungus and other things in nature. The levels of those nutrients are higher in the organic food, okay, have to be actually, and sometimes logarithmically higher because they've had to fight off the funguses and the bugs and things, and the crop is lower. And so can you trust that it's organic? My take would be, and if I was better at this, I'd still have, and I do with through Slow Veg and through other people, try to get, you know, I want people to get back to, yes, having Gary raise the pigs in the community, somebody raise the chickens in the community, somebody raises several gardens, and we get together and do community gardens, and then you'll know exactly what you're raising and on what soil and whatever else. Until that point, yes, there's a lot of, I know of a case recently where this company, a local place in the North County, sold their almonds to a different vendor because they were going to sell it under the organic thing, and they made a lot more money selling the exact same almonds that they really can't sell organic elsewhere. Okay, and they really aren't organic because they haven't been certified to be. Okay, I don't know is the answer. You do the best you can. You try to meet if you have this, meet with a local chef who knows the people at your farmer's market. Get a few people at the farmer's market that you know and you can trust. I had a lady once, and she was talking about this raw organic milk thing, and she's from Scotland. She goes, yes, I use raw organic milk, but we would never buy thing back in Scotland from anybody you didn't know. Yeah. How many people in our country, I never even thought of buying, when I was growing up, I'm talking about, you know, buying dairy from somebody I knew. You know, it was from the, you know, in the plastic container that you buy at the grocery store. I didn't know who made my dairy, right? And I think that's the kind of thing we need to try to get back to as much as possible. And is it possible for the entire world? No, but I mean, in our community, did we come here to be part of New York City? Not really, okay? And so can we get into that mentality where we start working and finding and meeting the people who grow our food? That would be my best answer, because otherwise, and make the effort to do it. Yes.
I was going to say something that might help that question is the person that shops at Albertsons, wherever.
Right.
You can find lists of which things are absolutely like apples,
yes,
strawberries, blueberries, you know, things that are really, really not recommended to buy.
Right.
Commercial. Some things aren't sprayed that much anyhow.
So. Correct. You know. The Environmental Defense Fund has a good list of things you really should focus on in terms of this. But when I started up, the further you go up in the food chain, the more important it is to be as organic as possible. So an organic beef product, including milk and things like that, it's more important to eat that organically than it is even a strawberry, just because it's further up on the food chain. Okay, so, and I'm not saying not to eat organic and strawberries, because I agree with that. The berries and things, apples are an example, potatoes are an example of things that are just pesticide loads. And the reason we're feeling so sick is often we have, you know, and you've heard me say this, especially women, you guys put so many skincare things on you, and you're bathing, there's a much greater source of chemicals in your cosmetics. You know, and we have to start thinking globally, you know, eating organically when you're putting on a ton of chemicals on yourself in terms of your cosmetics doesn't make any sense at all, because that's a bigger direct bathing of your body in toxic chemicals. So we have to really look at all of these things and be realistic about it, but just do the best we can. Be gentle with yourself, etc. The confusion and that little angst that I want people to have is what's meant to drive us to do these things, okay? And that's why I say confusion is a wonderful thing. And honestly, in most things in this world, if you're not confused, you're probably not paying attention, okay? Because it is confusing. But that doesn't have to place you in this where you can't, you're immobilized. It's really like, I got to make some changes. I got to keep looking at this stuff and have fun with it, because it's, you know, really all supposed to be fun anyways. Antioxidant cocktail. If you're heavy stressed, so once again, it's just like the people. You're a heavy exerciser, okay? People who are heavy exercise, marathon runners, have about the same mortality as obese people, okay? Because it's extremely stressful to be a marathon runner, extremely, okay? So there's nobody who trains who doesn't take a plethora of supplements if they want to live. That's what I would tell you, okay, and live healthily. And so if you're under stress, you are a smoker. I'm not suggesting you be a smoker or exercisers. You're under a lot of stress for a lot of reasons. In addition to a multivitamin, fish oils, D, consider extra antioxidants, okay? And this is all on your basic nutritional protocol. C, E, mixed tocopherols, lipoic acid are a great synergistic, help your body regenerate glutathione. This is a great antioxidant system for people under stress. I'm not saying everybody needs to do this, but there are so many things to take in this world, okay? From the CoQ10s to the resveratrols and all those other things. It's way beyond the scope of a talk like this to discuss all those things, okay? However, if you want a basically good antioxidant cocktail, mixed tocopherols, vitamin C, alpha lipoic acid. If in my perfect world, you'd take tocopherols in the morning and tocotrienols at night for a complete vitamin E spectrum of activity, because that would be my favorite way of going about it. And why didn't I include that? Well, to be quite honest with you, if you really wanted me to tell you if you took EPA and DHA, I'd probably tell you to take some GLA as well with it. It gets complicated, is all I'm going to try to say here. And the greatest good is to look at things that have the greatest potential positives, dosed in a way that has the best efficacy for you, while listening to your body. Remember, if you ever take something and you don't feel well, do not take it. And whether that's eating something or whatever else, listen to your own body in this process. But it's good to have an idea of where to start. Yes? CoQ10 is a great nutrient. Coenzyme Q10 is part of your body's energy production system. It's an antioxidant. There's all kinds of studies on cardiovascular health. It can lower blood pressure. Cover a couple of things with CoQ10. I very rarely, it's published in many books as being an energy nutrient. I've never seen anybody go on CoQ10 and go, woo, I have so much energy. So I don't really see that clinically. So if somebody's tired taking CoQ10, I've never seen make a difference. Now, it might have happened out there. I'm just going to tell you. I just haven't seen it, okay? There's a debate about after the age of 50, should I use the reduced form of ubiquinone? Sorry, that's a CoQ10. Called ubiquinol, okay, and that debate I'm not clear about, but it's possibly true that ubiquinol is better after the age of 50 in terms of how it's metabolized in the body. But on that order, most of the studies on ubiquinone, CoQ10, comes from Japan, and they use standard CoQ10 in 70-plus-year-olds showing benefits in heart failure, blood pressure, and other things, so I'm not quite convinced that the extra price for ubiquinol is worth it. But I might be wrong about that one. They're both probably good. So ubiquinone is CoQ10. Ubiquinol is a reduced form of CoQ10 that might be better as we get older. Might be. Yes?
My husband takes statins, and it was the pharmacist that told him to take the CoQ10.
Right. And so that goes into a specific use, though. That's why I didn't, you know. So if somebody is on a statin drug, now that's out there. Statin drugs are the Lipitors, Crestors, Zocors, other ors of the world. There's a lot of generics these days. Atorvastatin is Lipitor. That's why they're called statin drugs. They block a certain enzyme in the body. And if you take that medicine, which is a huge if, okay, but if you take that medicine, one of the myriads of things that that drug does to you is deplete CoQ10. So everybody who takes a statin, in my practice, is on CoQ10. But that's a specific use on, you know, in terms of the generic use for it. But it's a good point, by the way. I mean, and so at least 100 milligrams, higher doses, a couple hundred milligrams, and you can prevent most of the statin-related myopathies, which means muscle damages, by taking CoQ10 along with it. And this... just another example, by the way, the 1980, when the first statin came out, the drug patent had CoQ10 as part of the drug, okay? So the drugs were always supposed to come with CoQ10. It was understood from the inception of science that CoQ10 was depleted with statin drugs. However, to make it through the review boards, they had to take the nutrient out because they didn't want to be supporting a nutrient, even though it was known that that drug depleted it. And it's still not, most doctors still debate whether you're supposed to be on it. It was actually part of the original drug patent for Mevacor, which was the first statin. That's how, and this is, again, goes back to the obviosity, okay, obviousness, or obviosity, seems like a pretty good word, of these things. It's amazing how many times you see this nutrition literature suppressed for reasons that aren't for human health. I'll just leave it at that, okay? And so, but that goes, isn't it fascinating that some, even the reviews today in the New England Journal of Medicine won't even mention it, okay? When I want to say that was a recent review, didn't even mention CoQ10 and dosing of statins. So it wasn't even a part of the conversation, which at the very least you'd think, well, we've heard this before or something. It's still not even mentioned for the general doctors. So if the general doctor reads their own standard literature, it's not there. So that's why I don't blame them for not knowing about CoQ10 much, because you have to actually step back and read a body of literature that isn't in your, you know, family practice physician thingy and whatever else like that. You actually have to step out. You know, when I back in 98 and stepped out into my own practice, it was a kind of a stepping away from Western medicine to see it more clearly. You know, sometimes perspective is a good thing, okay? And it wasn't that I was leaving Western medicine. I was just trying to get a better view of it, because when you're in it sometimes and you're only reading your stuff, it all promotes one way of thinking, okay? And you're not confused, by the way. You're very convinced that you don't need to take CoQ10 because you've never heard about it and you've worked hundreds of hours, blood, sweat, and tears through worst nights of your life, and you the think that you weren't taught something that important doesn't even ring true to you. So that's why I have all the empathy in the world for the physicians who don't want to look at that, because it actually kind of hurts to realize how bad your education was, and you spent a lot of blood, sweat, and tears there.
Half the people in this room know that. With that amount of education, that doesn't speak for anything.
I'd be cruel. But. It doesn't, because to me, you know, I love, it's one of the things, when I went into medical school, I thought I was learning medicine, okay? But what I was being is indoctrinated into a system, okay? And that's what I found out. And the further along the physician goes, the more indoctrinated they are. That's why your specialists are the worst of the worst in this area, because they are more invested in not knowing these things. Okay? And I hope that you understand what I'm saying. Because there's lots of studies showing that, and I don't memorize these numbers, but it's something like 70% or so of medical students in their freshman first year are interested in nutrition. By the time they graduate, it's something like 20%. By the time they get through the residency, it's almost nil. Okay? So it's indoctrinated out of us. Do you get that? Okay, so it's, and but on that order, and that's why I agree that general population, but you haven't been so vigorously indoctrinated. It's like going through a Catholic priest thing and coming up with, you know, way some of these rabbi things are good, and it would be more difficult for the Catholic priest than the person who hadn't gone through Catholic priest schooling, sorry, whatever that's called. And I'm not good at these. But you understand what I'm saying. And then having to come from that standpoint to understand this part of the Jewish thing was a good thing. That's exactly what you're talking about. And if you understand your doctor from that perspective, then it's not so difficult to understand, I get why they don't understand this. They've been down this pathway, and it's more difficult, actually, for them to see this. That, and I'm not saying that justifies it, by the way. I'm not saying that justifies it, because I would hope most people who went into medical school really were pretty excited about the whole thing. Medical education, it's changed a lot since I went through it, you know, and so, but it's still, from what I see, a lot of the same things. I just read a review in JAMA, actually, on all the nonsense that, you know, residents and all the things are going through, and it really hasn't changed a whole lot since I went through it. You are seriously indoctrinated into a way of being, and it makes you not think. That's the problem, is once you have a believer in a system, they don't look at the rest of the data that doesn't support a belief system. And that's the danger of belief systems. And so the doctor has a belief system that this isn't part of their stuff, and they won't look at other things, because challenging that belief system when you're that further down is much more damaging to their ego and their training. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
To some degree? Okay. And that's why I want people to say this, to have empathy for the doctor who doesn't know about these things. It's a little, the times where I step out is when the doctors say something that are absolutely against the literature to their patients. It's the ones that say, I just don't know about this, yay, because they don't, okay? It's the ones who talk on what they know not of. Oof, nah. Those people, I have to admit, I'm a little bit more upfront with how I think about that, because they shouldn't be damaging. Because you see, like the thing, you see how damaging it can be to tell people to or not to take something in terms of that. So, and doctors, I agree, if they start talking about these things, really should start looking at them. Yeah, first of all, do no harm. And then, again, that's a lot. The calcium supplements, every doctor out there recommending calcium supplements is doing harm today. Okay, and that's not too good. But the problem is you ask the Western doctor what supplement to take, even when it comes to calcium. That was your mistake, you know. Yeah, you ask the wolf, hey, should you guard the chicken hen? No. You know, you don't ask certain people certain things. They don't have that vested interest. Yes?
There are some base products that include vitamin C and vitamin E.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is E good for scars? And is there any benefit for putting on your face? Does it have to be absorbed through your system?
Yes.
Okay, three questions.
See? I did a yes, no. Woo! I'm so proud of myself. I can end it with that. The answer really is yes, by the way. It's both are important. And you've got to be neutrifying, detoxifying. Topical nutrients do have a benefit in penetration that you can get that you don't get through orally. So, yes. I didn't stick with the yes, darn it. But yes. All right. I think we need to finish up. Once again, please don't forget Make-A-Wish Foundation. If you have questions about supplements, Richie's here, Linda, Miranda, me, for any other questions. Thank you. Merry Christmas.